This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. They built the baths in the sea at Black Rock on Dublin's south side in 1839. They were next to the railway station, and the railway company footed the bill. You could even buy a special ticket that gave you a train journey and entry to the baths. They were rebuilt in 1887, in concrete, a 50-metre arena of stilled seawater, with stepped seating for 1,000 people to watch the swimming races, water polo matches, and diving competitions. By the 1960s, the baths were falling into disrepair, and in the 70s, the concrete was cracked and covered in graffiti. Local kids would still be sent there during the summer holidays, and they'd muck around, pushing each other into the water, the boys horsing around, trying to impress the girls. The lifeguard's whistle sounding, followed by a pointed finger and a jerked thumb to signify that one kid's swim was done for the day. There were times back then in the 70s and in the early 80s when the place would fall silent. It was when an old man, well into his 60s, would appear from the changing rooms, walk around the edge of the pool, and start to climb the tower to the diving boards. He'd get to the 1 metre board and keep going. He'd get to the 3 metre board and keep going. He'd keep going all the way to the top, to the 10 metre board, walk to the edge, raise his arms, and be still. It was as if the whole of Dublin held its breath. Beyond him, the twin striped chimneys of the Poolbeg power station rose into the sky, but from the pool even they were dwarfed by the height of that board, with the old man a tiny figure at the top. As the kids and teenagers watched, he would flex his knees, dip briefly, then launch himself out into the void. His arms were spread wide, and for a moment he seemed to hang in the air, as if gravity itself was awestruck. And then he'd glide, timeless and ageless, angling slowly towards the water. It seemed to take an age. And then, just before he hit the water, his hands would come together and he'd slip beneath the surface, barely a ripple betraying where he'd entered the sea. So there are still people around today who saw Eddie Heron dive, saw Eddie Heron fly. He was born in 1910 in a tiny house on the north side of the city, close to Croke Park, close to the Royal Canal. His father worked as a butcher, but in his spare time was a talented amateur gymnast and diver. Young Eddie could dive before he could swim. He was still a toddler when his father would wait for him in the water, watch him dive, fish him out, lift him onto the side, and send him up to the board again. Eddie Heron was 13 years old in 1924, when he won his first Leinster Championship. A month later, at the Éineacht Tailteann, the Tailteann Games, an ancient festival revived by the newly created Irish Free State, he came third. Ahead of him were the Irish champion and the Olympic champion. As a young man, Eddie moved to the south side of the city where he worked as a bookmaker, living close to the Black Rock Baths. He practiced there whenever he could and would swim at the 40-foot, the famous spot where Dublin sea swimmers have long gathered. And he won everything. Certainly everything Ireland had to offer. and when he wasn't winning trophies or taking bets, he was also one of the best Gaelic footballers in the city. He played for O'Toole's and the Ballymun Kickhams, and then for the full Dublin side itself in the All-Ireland Championships. But it was diving that he loved more than anything. That's what he was famous for. With his grace and elegance through the air and his film star looks, Eddie Herron pulled the crowds wherever he went. Dublin loved him. Ireland loved him. Especially when, in 1933, he went to Leeds and won the British Diving Championships. After that, he set his sights on the 1936 Olympics and even used up all his savings to spend 6 months in Florida training with the reigning Olympic champion, Pete Desjardins. Eddie was 26, at the peak of his powers. The Olympic gold medal was there for the taking. Two, in fact, the high board and the springboard. Then, just weeks before the Games, Ireland withdrew all its athletes. The governing bodies in the North and in the Free State couldn't agree on what constituted an Irish team. So, nobody went. It would be 12 years before there was another Olympics. Eddie was 38 in 1948, but still the undefeated champion of Ireland. Still a man with a better shout than most at Olympic gold. In London, he made it through the qualifiers, and then politics intervened again. There were swimmers from Northern Ireland in the Irish squad, and the British hosts didn't like that and protested. So the Irish withdrew all their swimmers. As well as their greatest diver, Eddie was also president of the Irish Amateur Swimming Association and was instrumental in making the principal decision that deprived him of his last shot at Olympic glory. Ireland wouldn't send another swimming team to the Olympics for 20 years. It would be 68 years before they sent another diver. Eddie retired from competition 2 years later, in 1950, undefeated as Irish champion since 1934. He never stopped diving, though. He'd still make his way over the railway footbridge to Blackrock Baths, climb the ladders to the boards, and fly again and again. He still gave the odd demonstration at a gala. Mostly, he'd dive just because he wanted to. Because it was what he did. Even when the air was cold and the sea was cold and the wind would rush in, rattling the ladders and rippling the water, Eddie would just keep on diving. Keep on flying. They'd still come to see him. People who'd watched him as children would bring their own children to Black Rock, sometimes even their grandchildren, watching Eddie float out from the board just like he always did, glide elegantly through the air just like he always did, barely disturb the water just like he always did. They tell the children, in awed tones, stories of Eddie at his peak, of the Olympics, of the titles, of the crowds, of the glory days of Eddie Herron and Blackrock Baths. In 1968, Eddie's club, Sandy Cove, found themselves short of a diver for the 3-metre springboard at the National Championships. Eddie was pushing 60, but still diving whenever he could, still swimming at the 40-foot. So they asked him. He could only say no. It was 18 years since he last competed in the championship. He was pushing 60. But he said yes. And he won. He won with 108 points, 20 more than his closest rival. He'd remained undefeated as Irish champion for 34 years. Blackrock baths aren't there anymore. The diving board tower was declared unsafe and demolished in 2012, and the rest of the baths followed soon afterwards. Eddie died in 1985, but his name lives on in the annual Eddie Heron Memorial Race, a mile in the sea from Dunleary to Black Rock. There's also a plaque on the footbridge over the dart line that Eddie used to cross on the way to the baths, and over which the crowds of people would stream from the station, excited and expectant at the prospect of watching Eddie Heron dive, of watching Eddie Heron fly. That was A Coastal Story, and I'm Charlie Conroy. If you're enjoying these stories, do tell people about them. Tweet about them, accost strangers at bus stops and in waiting rooms, and subscribe, of course, and rate and review where you can. Coastal Stories will always be free to listen to, but if you feel like showing your appreciation by, say, standing me a pint, then I've started a page allowing you to do just that. No compulsion. There's a link in the show notes, and I'll be putting it up on the Coastal Stories podcast Facebook page and on Twitter, where you can find me at Charlie Conroy. These are tough times, so I'm not planning any kind of subscriptions or paywalls or anything like that. I just like telling these stories. But you can buy me a pint if you feel inclined. Not at London prices or anything either. In all seriousness, it will help keep the podcast going. I do really appreciate all your kind comments and support, and I do love finding these stories for you and telling them as well as I can. The waves you can hear were recorded at Deal on a high tide on the 3rd of September 2020.